best Cork sporting action at the weekend.
One goal to win the title. It's as simple as that.
Can you believe this?
Have you ever seen a trial like that?
The Big Red Bench.
On Cork, good times.
Red FM.
Welcome along to the Big Red Bench. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour, keeping you up to date with all sporting matters from around the Rebel County. And speaking of which, the greatest sporting county in the world is back in competitive action.
Here's Patrick Horgan.
Horgan for the goal! What a finish! What a time for Patrick Horgan to score his 27th championship goal!
Doing well. Out comes the clearance, way down into the centre of the field. Added to by Christy Ring. But it turned the goal back, but there's a foul in there. He appeals, and the appeal is upheld. Free in for Cork, and Christy Ring is going to take it. He bends down, he lifts, he strikes, and it's the goal.
Onto it, here comes Horgan. Can he be the match winner? Will this be the winner of the All-Ireland? It's over the bar! Patrick Horgan gets a 10th.
Jump here on Barry Nash.
Yeah, just something to whet the appetite there ahead of a huge, huge year for Cork GAA. Two matches underway at the moment. Of course, the footballers are playing Meath in Super Value Parky Heave. With 40 minutes gone, it's Cork 113 to Meath 12 points. And in the hurling, it's in Wexford, it's Cork 212 to Wexford's 6 points. And in the ladies' football, however, they got off to some start, beating Westmeath comfortably in their Division 2 clash. Now, to talk about it, earlier on, I caught up with our man, Joe McCarthy.
But 3-12 to 5 points, final score, suggests like a pretty one-sided game, and for many stretches of it, it actually was. Cork got off to the best possible start, a goal inside 2 minutes of Libby Coppinger, and she got a second goal, and Hannah Looney also netted before the halftime whistle. Third quarter was a bit ragged, Cork nor near as good as they were in the first half, so a bit to work on, but in fairness to them, they had to work on in the opening half, had a lead built up, and were more than deserving winners in their first day out in Division 2. So, look, in terms of Joe Carroll, what he was looking for, obviously points on the board was the most important thing. Wasn't too pleased with the second half performance. Lots to work on ahead of a very big game next weekend away to All-Ireland senior runners up Galway. But as first days go for a new manager, he'll take it, I think, and a win, some good performances, and lots to work on.
What do you think will be the main things to work on for next week?
Well, definitely, just when they came out in the second half, not maintaining the tempo and intensity of the first half. They allowed Westmead back into the game. Westmead had a couple of goal chances as well. Even in the first half, had they converted, things might have been a bit closer. But in reality, Cork were just that bit stronger. I think as well, the defence, even though the defence played very well today, led by Captain Serdy, centre-back, Rosie Cork, Green and McCleary, halfbacks had very, very good days up and down the wings. And the full back line had a new look to us. Katie Horgan from Lochnagree, Siobhan Callan from Clonakilty, either side of Shauna Kelly from Mary Glen Desmondsbury, and goalkeeper Sarah Murphy retaining her pace. They played quite well throughout the kept a clean sheet. And midfielders, Maura Callaghan, experience, and Aoife Healy as well, did quite well. They were the platform, you know, for Cork's win. But I just think in the second half, things got a bit ragged. To be fair to Cork and to Westmeath as well, conditions for much of the game were very, very difficult. A lot of heavy rain, freezing temperatures as well in Park Erring. But you know, overall, look, on your first day in the National League, as I said, you want to get the points on the board. But Cork have a lot to work on in the week ahead of going up to Galway for their second game, and certainly closing things down in defence and not allowing teams to come through the middle and not just give you up as many chances as they did in the third quarter, especially. Will be something John Carroll and his management team will work on.
Who are the players that are going to carry this Cork team forward, Jar?
Well, I suppose the good news is, Dan, even today, it's very hard to know what Joe Carroll's, you know, squad for the championship is going to be, because I was looking at the Mayor Ishka, the people coming out with the water. Melissa Duggan, Lydia McDonough, Shelley Daly and Laura Cleary would normally be involved with the Cork senior, so they weren't even on the panel today. And also training before the game with the Cork panel and the players who weren't involved is AFLW star from North Melbourne, Eric O'Shea, who has confirmed that she's back for the National League campaign. Whether she'll be running for the championship or not, we'll have to wait and see. But she's a huge addition for Joe Carroll, because she's an experienced player, flying fit, and when she retains her sharpness, she's going to be a player certainly to watch. But what was encouraging today, I suppose, from a Cork point of view, were the likes of newcomers Amy Corcoran from Aaron's Own, worked for her too, who played very, very well on the wing. Abby O'Mahony from Glenmire popped up as well. She had a really good game. And then you mix that with the experience of Libby Coppinger, Hannah Looney, Katie Cork and Laura O'Mahony. You know, Cork have a nice mix, and that's before they even settle on a panel, you know, that the players are to come back. And even off the bench, they were able to call upon experienced players like Dara Kennery, Sidon McGoldrick, and Amy McDonough. So look, I suppose from Joe Carroll's point of view, over the coming weeks in the National League, finalising his squad for the championship is going to be the most paramount thing. Obviously, promotion back to Division 1 is something everybody wants, but getting your squad settled coming into the Munster Championship and the All-Ireland Championship will be just as important as we grow near to that. So I suppose the good news from today is that while you got the performances from Captain Sarah Leahy, Maura Callaghan, Hannah Looney down the centre of the pitch, it was the newcomers, the likes of Katie Horgan from Lochnagree, Rosie Corkery from Navavon, who's been involved before, Siobhan Callan, and certainly Amy Corcoran, who can be well pleased with their efforts and giving Joe Carroll plenty to think about.
Brilliant stuff. And I guess Katie Quirk, how important is she going to be in this Cork side? She got 5 points today, 4 from frees. If she can stay injury free, she's surely going to have a huge say in this league campaign.
Yeah, 100%. And you're right just to mention her, because not loading the 5 points that she grabbed, but she was involved in both of Libby Coppinger's goals as well. And just her roving role that she had coming out from the full forward line, collecting possession, setting chances up for other teams, was just as important as her scoring. In the second half, she was a reliable free taker in difficult conditions, and that's going to be huge. And you made another key point there, Dan. Just staying injury free from her own point of view is going to be huge. And word two for Libby Coppinger, who came off after 24 minutes. She shipped a knock just in the first minute. It's nothing serious, it's just a knock on the muscle. She's going to be fine. But remaining injury-free for those two players in particular in that full forward line for Cork, it's going to be absolutely huge as the season progresses. But the good news is both players look really, really sharp today. And Quirk, as the chief free-taker and as probably Cork's primary scorer, the longer she stays injury-free, the better.
We'll hear from captain Sarah Leahy and manager Joe Carroll after this. What were their... Give us a breakdown of their thoughts after the game, Ger.
Yeah, I suppose from Sarah Leahy's point of view, you know, she's in centre-back position. It's a huge proud day for her, because having won the county with Ahada, she's now the captain of the inter-county team as well, and that's something she's delighted with but taking very seriously. She was pleased just to get the first game under the belt, and, you know, with all the training that's been going on, like any player, 60 minutes of competitive action is better than I don't know how many training sessions. And she was even more pleased, I suppose, with the newcomers that we mentioned there and how they did. From Joe's point of view, Joe was, I suppose, overall just as relieved to get, you know, the first game under his belt. You know, he's been waiting so long for it as a new Cork manager. But, you know, by his own admission, the team have a lot of work to do. He was not happy with the second half performance. The third quarter in particular was very, very ragged. But I suppose, look, in their defence, Cork had enough done in the first half where they had a cushion of a good lead. And I suppose, looking back on it, when they do the analysis, now they can be pleased with that. There are tougher tests ahead for Cork, as both the captain Sarah and the manager Joe have attested to. But look, when you've got a new management team in the door, a new manager, a lot of new players, and panel of about 40-odd players at the minute, you know, just getting that first game under the belt, the first win, it's a huge boost. And I suppose, you know, as I mentioned, they're going up the road to Galway, the team that beat them in last year's All-Ireland semi-final, the team that lost to Kerry in the All-Ireland final, and another county desperate to get out of Division 2. You know, it's going to be a big, big step up. So a better performance is needed next time out. A full 60-minute performance is needed. But I thought the good outweighed the bad today, considering the conditions, considering, you know, so many newcomers are involved behind the scenes as well. I think they'll take the points and just look to build on them as quickly as possible.
Another team hoping to get off to a winning start will, of course, be the Cork senior footballers, albeit probably a much tougher task against Meath and Super Value Park at Cleaver.
Yeah, I'm just on my way down to Super Value Park at Cleaver as I speak to from one game to the next. But unlike the Cork senior football ladies, John Cleary, this is now his third, fourth year in charge. And Cork don't have a good record in their opening rounds of their league matches down through the years. I think they've only won one in 8 seasons, if not more. And look, it's going to be a very unusual night. There's the new rules for a lot of people seeing them in the flesh for the first time. A lot of newcomers to the Cork senior panel as well. And look, with so many absentees between retirements, between injuries, there is a good few players involved tonight now that maybe wouldn't have necessarily been involved. But look, that's the situation that John Terry finds himself in. And getting out of Division 2 is something John Terry can tell Joe Carroll a lot about. Cork have just not been able to do it. And for a team, you know, that on its day, when it's at full strength, can go toe-to-toe with the best, as we saw against Donegal last year. You know, getting out of this division is absolutely paramount. Back up to Division 1 and compete against the big teams on a regular basis is what brings you on. Playing a Meath team at home on the first game of the season, you know, it's important to Cork it off to a winning start. I mean, that goes without saying, but more than anything, that we see a pattern, and considering all the players that are missing, you know, that the newcomers can stake a claim and start to flesh out that panel, make it a bit more competitive ahead of the Munster Championship. I think that's even more important from John Cleary's point of view. But I just can't wait to see how the new rules are going to go, how Cork adapt to them, and who are the newcomers that can put their hands up for selection.
Do you think these new rules could suit Cork, or do you think it could go against them?
I actually think they will suit them. I know they played Dublin behind closed doors during the week, and they beat them. But I think there was only one 2-pointer in that game. I'm up to correction now because I wasn't there, and that was from Owen McSweeney. But the fact that you've got to keep your 3-4 up at the other end of the pitch means something Cork have struggled with is breaking down 14-man defences. No, they won't have to do that now, but they'll also have to adapt and move the ball that bit quicker into whoever is in that forward line. So, I do think Cork are better when they're playing on the front foot. I think you'd understand that as well as I would. Against Donegal, that big win last year, when they were on the front foot, when it was high tempo, and they didn't really have much time to think about it, but just play off the cuff on the break, that's when Cork are very, very dangerous. And we'll see a good bit more of that tonight, just by virtue of the fact that three players have to stay in the other half of the field. But how it all pans out defensively, how do Cork close down the opposing attacks, what will the kick-out tactics be, where they're going to go long. You know, it's fascinating when you think about it, but it's the same for everybody. But I do think, considering Cork's struggles over the last couple of years, having that bit extra space in the forward line is going to do them no harm at all.
Yeah, hopefully it'll help the likes of Mark Cronin and Chris Oak-Jones. Sean MacDonald, I don't think I've seen him in here before, Ger, but you can correct me if I'm wrong. Is he a newcomer to this Cork side?
He is, and he's a very, very good player at club level and at intercounty underage level. And I think we were talking about it in Park Ring earlier, whatever about the newcomers coming in tonight, the fact that they're young and they've got legs and they can last for 70 minutes plus, that's going to be huge, because the game is going to become far quicker and it's going to be far more open. Players are going to have to do a lot more than they used to, getting up and down the pitch. And I just think Cork has players in certain positions that are suited to that. But it'll be very, very interesting to see how Sean goes at this level, inter-county and in National League. But he's got nothing to lose. He's got a chance now with the jersey. Brian Hurley's out injured. Stephen Sherlock is gone. John O'Rourke is gone. There are places there, Dan. Mm-hmm. And as John Cleary was quick to point out during the week, everybody's been talking about the number of players that are gone, myself included, up to about between eight or 13 players. But the core of the panel is still there. There's still 20-odd players from last year. And, you know, teams are in transition all the time. Just look around the country. Look at Dublin and the lineup they have against Mayo and places like that. Or, in their National League opener under Desi Farrell. So, yeah, it's a new dawn for everybody. It's uncharted territory. And I just think if Cork embrace it and go for it, I think we might be pleasantly surprised over the coming weeks.
Yeah, you were kind of alluding to John Cleary maybe trying to get away from it, as I was going to drag you straight back in. Do you think all these lads missing out was going to be of detriment, or can we look at it another way, that the new lads coming into the team are going to try put their hands up for that jersey?
I don't think you can lose that amount of experience and that amount of attacking quality like John O'Rourke, Stephen Sherlock, and not suffer. I just think that's a reality that maybe John doesn't really want to dwell on. I'd imagine he'd admit that himself, but he doesn't want to keep dwelling on it. You flip the coin and you ask, it's not that long ago Cork were at our Ireland level under 20, Dan, were winning them and hugely competitive. So there are players there. It's just to get the right mix in, and the new rules will suit the younger footballers coming into it. The guys, as I said, that can go 70 minutes up and down the pitch. But from Cork's point of view, you know, this is not where you want to be in the third, fourth year here as a manager. You know, transitioning all over again, bringing in more players and looking to get things right. At this point, you should really have a settled, you know, panel, a settled way of playing. And Cork are fine when they're underdogs against the bigger dogs. They've no problem playing on the counter-attack, no problem playing, taking them on. It's when they play the loads, with respect to them of this world, who are in around the same level of them, that they seem to be losing too many close games. So from John's point of view, they will suffer with the experience that's gone from the dressing room, but he's going to hope that the newcomers add the tempo and impetus that can take Cork on to another level. And the only way they're going to do that is get into Division 2, and the only way they're going to get into Division 2 is to win all their home games at a minimum, and hopefully that's where it all starts tonight.
Hopefully. Just an omission from the team sheet is Christopher Kelly. Is he injured, Ger?
I don't know, is the honest answer. I do think Cork are looking at Michal Nado, Martin, you know, is a more than capable goalkeeper coming in. But my information on that, I'm afraid, I can't lie, I don't know. But you know, Chris is certainly somebody with his kickouts, his accuracy from the kickout as well, is hugely important to how Cork play. So hopefully we haven't seen the last of him.
Hopefully, hopefully. I'll switch on to the hurlers now. I know you did a preview during the week. Just a quick word on them. How hopeful are you that we got off to a good start today against Wexford? Surely, surely without Chin, surely without Rick, it is going to be a good start.
On paper, you would expect Cork to win tonight's game against Wexford, no doubt about it. The good news, Dan, is that having seen them in the Cannon O'Crawley Cup pre-season game there against UCC in the Mardyke a couple of weeks ago, and considering how many people were missing, they still walloped in 6 goals against a very good UCC team. And Pat Ryan and the team and the players look absolutely, they're hopping off the ground and they're determined and they're ready for this season. Been reading a lot during the week in the National League previews that, and Liam Sheedy said in the Irish Examiner as well, you know, Cork could do it winning a trophy. Winning a cup would be a huge boost, like a National League would do Cork the world of good going into the Championship. And we'll be talking a lot about the Munster Championship and how hard it's going to be this year. The good news is, you know, the likes of Jack O'Connor, Daniel Hogan from Stars. I've seen Ben Cunningham lighting it up for UCC as well in the early weeks of the new year. Pat Ryan has options to share. He's a lot of options. And when he's fit and available, he's going to have a really, really good squad. He's looked very, very sharp. The bit I saw him in pre-season, and somebody with his experience and somebody his ability, look, you cannot leave him out. Will he play as much as he played last year and as often as he played last year? If he's in full fitness and if he's knocking him over, then why not? I just think he's such a talented player, so the most talented Cork forward of his era and right now as well, I think. But it's just how Pat Ryan deploys him and when he uses him, you know, is this going to be interesting? Do we want Patrick Harkin playing lights out now in the first couple of months of the season, or when it matters towards the end of the All-Ireland Championship, should Cork reach that? So how he handles him and how he maintains, you know, the fitness levels and injuries and all that, it's going to be interesting. But, you know, Patrick Harkin is well capable of lighting it up again this year.
I think the line's going a bit bad. I'd say you're among the masses thronging into Super Value Park in Kyiv at the moment, sure. So I leave you going. Enjoy the match.
All right, Dan. Cheers.
Cheers, Jar. And the latest from the hurling, it's currently Cork 218 to Wexford's 11 points. Cork also on top at the football at the moment. It's Cork 118 to Meath 16 points. As we were speaking about earlier, Jar caught up with Cork LGFA manager Joe Carroll.
One, that's our target. We'd love to win Division 2, but we'd love to get up. That's the first target, get up out of Division 2, because Cork shouldn't be really down there. It is Division 2 and they should be playing Division 1 as all Cork teams, whether it be football, hurling, camogie or whatever it is. They all like to play at the top grade and we're no different. But look, it will be a bit of a learning curve and we're not going to get up there easy. We've Galway next week, up in Galway, which is going to be a massive game for us. Like, played Galway 3 times last year. Cork won twice and Galway won once, so nothing between those two teams.
Libby Cabbage got 2 goals, so she went off injured. What's the story there?
It was only she got a bang in the very first goal actually, and it was the physio kind of advisors to take her off. Just nothing, just only a small bit of a bang, so we've just been careful with her because she had a very rough year last year and she's going well for us, like, and so we're wrapping in cotton wool a small bit at the moment.
The established Cork players played as well as you'd expect them the opening day of the National League, but there were some newcomers. Amy Corcoran is one of those, like, and there's a few others as well who really stood out to you.
Yeah, you know, we had 4 was at the start that never played, seen her played a starting, one of the starting 15 before, and all 4 did very well, to be fair. And I suppose it was a plus for us because we were on the going forward all the time with the ball, and it was them, but at the same time it was nice to get a game under their belt, and it will make our panel good and competitive by the time we settle on what we want on it.
Yeah, your 4 Mayorish kids that were listed on the panel, including Melissa Doug, is one of the strongest I've ever seen, so there's a few to come back. Can I ask you as well, from a management point of view, new management team coming in, how helpful is it to have a game under the belt of video analysis to do and things to work on now?
Yeah, sure, look, we've played two bits of games already, like, and we've done a good bit of video analysis, and it's getting there. We still have a lot of work to do in it, and it is good for all the lads to get in, and we're starting to gel a bit, and you know, it was good to get the league game under our belts today, where we had fellas doing stats and things outside the wire, and we got a bit of feedback and all that as well. So look, that'll take a bit of time, and once we keep winning, it'll be great, but I'm sure we'd get plenty of challenges from Galway and Tipperary and Donegal and all the other teams we used to play.
Yeah, it's a step up now again with respect to Meath going up against last year's All-Ireland finalists up the road as well and away from home. But this is the kind of character building, this is the time that you get away from Cork with the panel as well. That's going to be important.
Yeah, it is, Ger, and you know, an away game, like going in the road for any team is difficult, whether it be soccer, football, rugby or everything. It is always more difficult to win away from home, but when you get that little bit of a win, it's a big boost too, and it will be a fierce battle against Galway next Sunday.
Well, congrats on winning your first competitive game. We look forward to talking to you for the rest of the year.
Thanks a million, John.
You're also caught up with Sarah Leahy.
Cork captain Sarah Leahy, congratulations. First win under the belt, National League up and running. Wasn't easy by any means today, but you got the job done.
Hi, Derek. Yeah, no, it wasn't easy, of course, which is always a good sign because we've learned a few lessons from today as well. But I think it was important for us to get out and get a win on the first day, especially for we had a 4 debutants on the pitch today. So we can be pleased coming away from the game.
Difficult conditions, but you got 3 early goals, 2 from Libby, 1 from your clubmate Hannah, and that gave you the cushion to kick on.
Absolutely. Look, we had a great the beginning of the first half was great anyway, and it's great to be converting those scores. And look, yeah, we weren't getting those as much scores in the second half, but as I said, plenty for us to learn from and work on now during the week for Galway next week.
Yeah, because that's the thing. I mean, you're coming from a county winning championship winning club in Ahead, but you're coming to a brand new setup, new coach, new manager, so there's a lot different, but you seem to have a settled panel and still a lot of players come back as well.
Oh yeah, sure, it's definitely different, but look, so far so good. The trainings are, you know, from January and December they're quite tough, so it's challenging, so that's good. Competition is in the camp and we're really enjoying it, so far so good. So plenty of competition, loads of new players on the team as well, and plenty to come back. So you know, there's a great buzz around the place, so we're happy out.
Big honour for yourself as well as county winning captain for both your club and your family to be Cork captain, senior captain.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I'm absolutely delighted, sure. I've played under some great captains with Cork and with Ahada, from Roisin Phelan and Maura Deering, Kira Martina, like there's so many of them. So I've learned a lot under them, and if I could have even a portion of their impact, then I'd be delighted.
It doesn't get any easier. You go up the road to last year's All-Ireland runners-up Galway on your next game, but that's the way it's going to be in Division 2. Tough games, but these are the games that will benefit you, and especially the panel going on the road, a chance to bond.
Absolutely, sure, yeah. We obviously, given our end to the year last year, I think we have that desire now for Galway next week. And as I said, in the league with Division 2, we want every player to get an opportunity. So hopefully we'll get the best out of ourselves now next week.
Excellent stuff. Well done, Sarah. Congrats.
Thank you very much. See you soon.
And you're also caught up with Frank Brown, the Westmeath LGFA manager.
Frank, disappointed obviously with the result. But that third quarter performance, and you just seemed up in the third quarter and into the second half, you just seemed that bit more solid. Is that a fair comment?
I think it's a really fair comment. I think, you know, Cork in the middle of the first half got their 10 minutes and they absolutely punished us with probably 2-4 or 2-5 in the centre reeling. And it would have been very easy then for us as a group to say, here, where are we going with this at all, and come in on ourselves. But we came in at half time, we regrouped, we kind of focused on trying to set ourselves up and all the good things, and I think we put in a really good third quarter, you know. And look, if we're to have ambitions of going on and doing things in the intermediate championship, these are the games you want to be playing against the very best. You know, we spoke for the last 3 or 4 weeks in the train about, you know, embracing coming down to Cork and testing ourselves against the very best, and we'll see where we are, and that's what we've done. So we're going to go back very positive. Look, we probably, you know, absolutely Cork were a bit of, we missed 2 goals, which would have probably put a bit of a better shine on it, you know. I mean, Chloe was very unlucky there, like she wasn't unlucky, she was 2 yards out, she should have buried it, and she'd be the very first to say that, you know, just playing the League of Ireland Soccer with Pima, that's meat and drink for her. But she learned from that, and the same, we had another chance with Anna Jones, a punch another day that goes in. But look, hopefully we'll save her a bit of good luck for later on in the year when we might need it a bit more.
Yeah, there's positives to take from it, and I know the scoring was just otherwise. But had you not conceded the goal in the first half, you showed enough today, as you said, against a senior team with ambitions, that there's lots of work on it.
Look, the reality of the situation, and please God, you know, that on the first Sunday in August, that, you know, we're going to be with Cork and Croke Park, and Cork are going to be playing in an All-Ireland senior final, we're going to be playing in an All-Ireland intermediate final, and we'll have a couple players in the players and the players area after. But that's the reality. So for, and we need to take that on board. You know, we made a decision that we'd train through our league, and you know, and we'd use that as a place to learn our systems and test ourselves against the very best, and that's exactly what we're doing, you know. But look at Cork, are a really good outfit, but we knew that, you know. You don't get beaten in All Ireland senior semi finals and not be a good outfit. So that, but for us, the learning that we'll take from it, and you know, like, it's, to us, it's about us. We can only, you know, I think the racehorse trainer Aidan O'Brien famously always says, you can only train the horses that are in your own stable, and that's what we're focusing on. No matter what.
The ref's whistle has gone for halftime here on the Big Red Bench, but stay with us. There's plenty more coming in the second half, including a Munster rugby preview for their URC clash against the Dragons. Don't go anywhere.
Red Bench. Cork's good times. Red FM.
Welcome back to the Big Red Bench. Dan Casey here with you for the next half hour around the grounds. Cork are well up against Wexford, 221 to 12 points. That's after 70 minutes. And the footballers, also, time is basically up there as well. They're nearly at the 70-minute mark. It's Cork 219 to Meath 20 points. So, looking like a good day all around for Cork GAA. And sticking with the GAA, UCC confirmed their place in the Electric Ireland Fitzgibbon Cup knockout stages with a second consecutive group victory over University of Galway at the Mardyke last Wednesday evening. Despite the concession of two late goals, Tom Kingston's side ran out 124 to 219 winners, with Ben Cunningham getting 9 points and Tipperary's Dara Staklem top scoring with 1-3. That result means, however, whoever wins next Thursday's final group showdown between MTU Cork and UCC in Bishopstown would automatically qualify for the Fitzgibbon Cup semi-finals. An absolutely huge clash. And after UCC's latest win, Joe McCarthy caught up with UCC coach Sean O'Gohalpin to preview what should be a cracking local derby against MTU Cork.
Sean Og, two wins out of two, whichever way you look at it. I mean, you know, there's a couple of late concessions of goals, things to work on. We must be overall delighted with the way the players have applied themselves in such a tough group.
No, totally agree with you. I couldn't ask for more. No, two games, two wins. As you said, the manner mightn't be nice to the eye, we're kind of winning ugly, but when I spoke to you a couple of weeks ago after that 11 goal hammering, if you were to tell me like that, you know, we'd win our next two games and potentially put ourselves, you know, at a quarter final at the very minimum, you'd take that with open arms. So it's still plenty to work on, which is a good sign. You know, you get worried sometimes, you know, when you're going through the stages of the competition and you're hitting your straps way too early. Is there room for improvement? Absolutely. Buckets full, and you like to feel like that you're just billing, and then, you know, saving better performance for the next day and hopefully the next day again. But in fairness to NUIG, they were very game. Frank Lohan was involved with them. Actually, Frank was went to UCC back in the 90s. So I said to him, nice to be back at home, Frank. But like, they were tricky outfit, you know. I suppose if they look back in it, like, they shot, you know, couple of easy boys. I know what the white comb was, but from the naked eye, this seemed to be over 10 points, like, you know. And if there was another minute or two left in the game, you know, we were squirming, like, you know. So it just goes to show you can't take your foot off the gas, you know. Maybe subconsciously, fellas, when Dara Staklem got the goal in the second half, which opened up the contest, fellas maybe subconsciously small, but I'm not saying they deliberately, but a small bit. But that's tonight over Nomad, and then a nice tasty one to look forward to next week, you know, the local derby.
How much do you mean you've been involved in all grades of hurling, but how much you involved in such a high profile, two colleges going head to head, and there may well be a lot at stake for MTU, we don't know, depending on tomorrow night's result?
Well, out of all derby meets across various sports, this is the one, like, you know, kind of, and it's still all to play for, because tomorrow's game, UCD, if UCD get a result there, absolutely, you know, and then MTU, you'd favour him to win that, but, I mean, you saw last week, MTU, UCD a game enough side, like, and like Nafina winning last Sunday, you know, rises boast for all, you know, Dublin teams or whatever. So I wouldn't rule that out. And if you see the Nicky result there, well, then it's definitely all to play for, because technically we're not true, you know. But I mean, if you're a UCC player worth your salt, you know, that's the game that you look forward to. Outside of winning the Fitzgibbon Cup, it's to beat MTU Cork in any given year, because the same is told out in Bishop's home to them, you know. And what makes it more intriguing is you'll probably have club fellas marking each other up against each other, so they'll have to put that aside, and it'll be the skull and crossbones all the way, you know, from our perspective. Like, and yeah, another great night to look forward to next week.
Excellent stuff, best luck.
No worries, thank you.
Just one or two more. Sorry, Steve.
I think Ger left Sean Oak speechless at one point, something which I never thought I'd see the day of. Ger also caught up with UCC manager Tom Kingston after the game.
All right, Tom, UCC victory 2-2. You made it hard for yourself there, Neil, with those late goals. But look, 2 wins out of 2. Are you overall, are you pleased?
I am, yeah, absolutely. We knew Galway were a good side. They were going to come down here tonight and give it everything they had, seeing as they'd lost their first game. So they had to, they had no choice but to do it. And I thought Offaly stood up really well in the first half. They worked really hard, which they need to do at this level of competition. You have to do these things. Took our scores well, defended well. I was very, very pleased at half time the way they performed. As you said, they're looking the last 10 minutes. Galway got 2 for a couple of goals. These things happen. Like, they were never going to die easy or give up and not do it. Their Fitzgibbon Cup campaign, they wanted to win it the same as us, so they were never going to give up. And they proved in the end that they are a quality side. They are a good side. But, you know, look, geez, we're happy, lads. Look, get our two home games, won them. And big one next week now against the local rivals, obviously, like, so we'll see what happens.
You've been scoring quite heavily, and it's been a good, I mean, Ben Cunningham has been in with a lot of the scores, but there's a good spread of scores, Tom. You must be delighted with that.
That's particularly pleasing, yeah. We're not over reliant on any one individual, even though Ben tonight I thought was outstanding. I thought he got some great scores for us tonight. But you can't be over reliant on one or two fellas, because if you do, the opposition will nullify you very easy, because no matter how good a fella is, no matter how good a player is, the opposition will learn how to nullify a fella too, like, you know, if you take. So that's a very pleasing aspect, that the scores are shared around, you know.
2 wins out of 2, as you said, we don't know who's going to go on Belfield tomorrow night between UCD and MTU, but either way you're going to go to try and win that final game no matter what.
Well, I suppose, look, that's what it's about. I mean, like, I've no doubt whatsoever MTU are going to be doing the same. They're going to be going out to beat us. But look, I suppose if you look at the MTU squad, they're very, very strong. They have a very, very good team this year, and they're at home, so they're going to have a big supporter, I'd imagine. So look, you know, all that points, good for them. Yeah. But look, listen, we'll go out and we'll do our best. That's all we can do.
And just finally, I mean, at this time of the year, for Cork hurling fans, I know the National League is about to start, but to see two colleges going head-to-head, something to look forward to.
I think it is, yeah. Absolutely. I'd expect to be a good crowd here next Wednesday, or up in MTU next Wednesday night, to see the two Cork teams going against, especially when there's something to play for. Do you know, like, and there is a lot to play for, like, whoever wins that. We don't know how this is going to pan out with Dublin game tomorrow night or anything like that, but, you know, like, there's always something to play for. And, like, if we do our best, we'll go from there.
Excellent stuff.
Thank you, lads.
Well, it finished in Super Value, Parky Cave, and the scoreline reads Cork 219 to Meath's 21 points. A great result for the Cork footballers, and of course the hurlers getting the job done as well, winning on a scoreline of 221 to 12 points in Wexford. So a bit of Premier League action now. Man City and Chelsea are currently level 1-1 at half time in the late Premier League game today. Darren Stanage has the latest from the Etihad Stadium.
Man City 1, Chelsea 1 at the break. Chelsea in front here after just 2 minutes after an awful header by Kuzanov on his City debut. Back towards his keeper, Jackson intercepted, squared it for Maduke to have an open goal for 1-0, and they missed a massive chance for 2. Palmer played in on 8 minutes, squared the ball. There was too much on it for Jackson, though, who couldn't finish. Phil Foden hit the post then on 9 minutes. City started to create chances. Gvardiol and Mamouche with a big one. Mamouche having the ball in the back of the net, ruled out for offside. But then came the equaliser on 43. Nunes racing on to a through ball. Out came the keeper to make the save, but there was Guardiola to tap the ball home. At the break, Manchester City 1, Chelsea 1.
Arsenal scored a late winner against Wolves in the Premier League this afternoon. Frank Watson has the full-time report from Molyneux.
It finished Wolves 0, Arsenal 1. The deciding goal on 73 minutes. Ricardo Calafiori brought on as a half-time substitute. An excellent, driven, left-footed half-volley finish after Nelson Semedo had weakly headed across from the right clear. The only goal of the game then, but plenty of action and controversy. Red cards for either side. Miles Lewis-Skelly seeing red for Arsenal just before the break. Very controversial. The Wolves' attack ended by Lewis-Skelly. Made no attempt to play the ball. That was deemed a serious foul play. And then after the break, Jao Gomez picking up a second yellow and throwing away that one-man advantage that Wolves had. It was after that that Arsenal scored. Wolves couldn't do much after that. Ryan Nouri did miss one good opportunity, but it was a good save by David Raya in the Arsenal goal. And a very, very accomplished second-half performance by the Gunners. It finished Wolves 0, Arsenal 1.
Bournemouth have smashed Nottingham Forest 5-0 in the Premier League this afternoon. Alan Seabrook has the full-time report from the Vitality Stadium.
Well, it's finished at Bournemouth 5, Forest 0 at the end of a game that saw a rampant Bournemouth take the lead after just 9 minutes through Justin Kluivert. And whilst Forest started the second half brightly enough, it fell to Bournemouth to continue the scoring as Daniel Ouattara bagged a brace inside 6 minutes before completing his hat-trick on 87 minutes. Antoine Semenyo it was who scored the 5th goal of the game in injury time at the end of the match. And of course, Bournemouth could have had a 6th, but for VAR. It's finished Bournemouth 5, Forest 0.
And Liverpool have recorded a 4-1 win at home to Ipswich Town in the Premier League. Shane Pinnington has the full-time report from Anfield.
Well, it's the finish. Liverpool 4, Ipswich 1, and Arne Slot's men maintain their 6-point lead at the top of the Premier League table after a dominant display here saw off struggling Ipswich. Goals from Szoboszlai, Salah and a double from Gakpo did the damage as they made 18 games unbeaten. Jacob Greaves did get a late consolation for the visitors, but they remain deep in trouble. Liverpool 4, Ipswich 1.
Newcastle beat Southampton 3-1. Peter Hood with the full-time report from St Mary's.
Southampton 1, Newcastle 3. The visitors back to winning ways after a 4-1 defeat at home to Bournemouth. They came from behind after Jan Bednarek had given Southampton an early lead, and it was the man, the class of Isaac, that did it. He equalised from the penalty spot, and when set up by Murphy, he duly slotted the ball away to give them a half-time lead. The second half belonged really to Newcastle. Another long VAR decision after the Isaac penalty came. Tonali had made it 3-1. Murphy hit a post. There could have been more. Newcastle deserved winners. Southampton 1, Newcastle 3.
Now we go to a bit of rugby, and Rory on Off the Balls, the Red 78 podcast. Was speaking to Fiona Hayes and Alan Quillen about tonight's clash against the Dragons.
We'll move on to the Dragons game coming up this coming weekend, Saturday, 7:35 kickoff. Just injury update from Munster. Mike Haley had an ankle injury at the weekend. He's due to go for a scan. Miles Scannell failed the HIA. Shane Daly progressing through return to play protocols. John Hodnett being assessed for leg injury. His availability will be determined. Tyke Byrne, Jack Crowley, Conor Murray, Calvin Ash, Peter Mahoney are with the Ireland squad, and the injury list is too long to mention because we are tight on time. It hasn't really changed much over the last couple of weeks. But Fiona, if you look at this on paper, I mean, like, the Dragons, bottom of the URC, 1-1-9, and minus 94 point differential. On paper, Munster should win this.
Yeah, on paper, but they're always the tricky ones, aren't they? You know, especially on the back of those two European games they've had in the last couple of weeks. You know, as we said, the performance was lifted, but a lot of the guys now that we've named, you know, when we're talking about the start of the week, the players that have stood up are not going to be there next week. So it's about other guys now getting on that pitch and taking control. But certainly on paper, I mean, the Dragons bottom, they've won one of the Challenge Cup games out of four. Don't lose too many to Wales, I don't think. Maybe one or two, maybe one. But certainly that I think won't affect them as much then as it will affect Munster. So that's something, the team cohesion, they will have been playing with a very similar team that they'll be using the same guys. So Munster, we've spoke about the injuries and we'll have to make a good few changes based on last week as well. So it is a difficult tie, but certainly, and Quinny's spoken about this a lot and he'll go into it, these five games after Christmas are crucial. And when you look at it on paper, this is probably one of the ones you would expect to win and certainly expect to get a couple of tries and get a bonus point win. So going forward, I certainly think they'll be looking at it. It's a must-win game for this URC. They're sitting at 11th, but obviously they have a chance to go up the table with a win. So it is a big one. But I think Munster, the squad, if they can pick up from last week with those changes and still play with that, fix up a few things, they'll be getting that bonus point win away.
Yeah, these next five games before we face La Rochelle in April, the Dragons this weekend, then after a little bit of a break you face Scarlets on the 15th of Feb, then you've got Edinburgh away to Glasgow and away to Connacht, a tricky little run of fixtures, Quinny, but as you mentioned, absolutely vital.
Yeah, and I think the danger about going over to the Dragons is they're kind of at a low ebb and nothing would lift them more than to beat Munster. We saw that, people remember 2.5 years ago in 2022-23 season when Munster went on to win it at the end, but they had a dreadful run at the start, and that performance and result kind of really stuck out. Very disjointed. It's a tough place to go, Rodney Parade. The crowd will get in your back. They'll love nothing more Saturday night, having a few beers, screaming and shouting, trying to rattle Munster a bit, putting the ball up in the air. And they have some good players, dangerous young players. I think you saw early on in the URC the performance they put in against Leinster in Dublin. Very dangerous and asked a lot of problems. So they're not going to be significantly impacted with Welsh internationals away. So I think it's a very, very tricky fixture for Munster. They should have an expectation to go and keep the level high now. I think the high level in attack in the last couple of weeks and pockets of that intensity that they brought, it dipped a few times in the last two European games. But again, if they kind of expect to go over to Newport on Saturday night and, you know, God, this team have lost 8 games in the league, they've only won once, that'll be a problem for them. And I think it could be a significant problem. So you've got to go with the right attitude, a really kind of roll up the sleeves type attitude. And they have to have a doggedness, whoever starts and plays. And these are the games that Irish coaches and the people keep an eye on to see players' reactions. So Munster, their internationals are going to be gone, but they have to go with a real attitude or else they'll be beaten, and things will go against them, a couple of decisions, knock-ons, mistakes, all that kind of stuff, because you know it's a tricky place, and if you allow it to get on top of you, they can rattle you a little bit. So yes, Munster are good enough to go and win there, and the run of games you're talking about, you know, I think the next three, without looking too far ahead, they've got to beat the Dragons, Scarlets and Edinburgh the next three games. It changes the picture. Munster are sitting 11th in the table on 21 points. It's so congested right up to third or fourth. The Bulls are in fourth on 25 points. So I'm not saying that Munster win this because the others could get results as well. But two wins are even an important, you know, you get a 5-pointer at the weekend or pick up a couple in the next couple of weeks, dare I say, it pushes you right up there. And that has to be their focus in this period. They've got to go and run the games now like they went last year and make sure, you know, trying to secure or getting a top four. I know it's a long way away when you're 11th, but that should be the goal, to be in that top four, to have a home quarter final. And then maybe you have more available squad players, and come April, May, you can say, right, okay, we've two or three games away, we can have a crack at this and maybe surprise a few people. But the minimum requirement for me is obviously being in the knockouts, but you know, not scraping in on 7th or 8th, and it's a tough run. So yes, Glasgow away in 21st of March and then Connacht away. They're really two difficult games. We know what's going to happen in McHale Park with Connacht and Munster. It's going to be You know, they're two difficult games. One other point, Rory. Calvin Nash kind of sat in the on the bench or not even on the bench or involvement in a squad in November. I just hope that if one or two of these Munster players are not starting are not going to be involved, that they're released back for a game or two in between the Six Nations, because, you know, the Scarlets game on the 15th of February is in between the Six Nations, the break weekend, and the same with the Edinburgh one. So that'll be interesting to see if that happens. Look, we'll wait and see, but it's an important run now, and that's the reality. It's stating the obvious, isn't it? And with their internationals gone, again, that's something now that they've got to drive internally within themselves, just trying to step up to the plate. The likes of Brian Gleeson now, Evan O'Connell, who's got, you know, they'll have involvements. They need to start matches and really make an impact. Hopefully John Hodnett gets back in there, because, you know, he's such a powerhouse of a player. So yeah, big couple of weeks from.
Yeah, hopefully Munster get the job done against the Dragons tonight. I see former Cork under 20 hurling star Ben O'Connor is starting at full back. So best of luck to him as well as the whole squad. Let's keep this winning momentum going all around, not just for tonight, but for the year. Cork GA is back, and I just had to play you out this one. Dan Casey signing off on this week's Big Red Bench.
Here's Patrick Horgan.
Liam McCarthy is coming back again. The big